Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be doing a little bit of a different episode. We'll be talking about Star Trek, specifically Bill Shatner and James T. Kirk, and the legacy you both left behind. Here, of course, my co-host, J.T. Saskatoon.
Wow, we haven't lowered our Trek expectations in a while.
Also, this is Red Ink.
What up?
I think it's not unfair to say that James T. Kirk, William Shatner, in Star Trek all are very important to each other. That if it wasn't for Shatner, Kirk, there wouldn't be a Star Trek to exist now. Star Trek definitely has changed shape and form and message and etc. as time went on, but I feel like the core DNA of Star Trek, Shatner and Kirk are deep in the code there because, I've seen the cage and.
Give them a little too much credit.
All right. Go ahead, Brad.
Shatner is important to Star Trek history. Yes, he's flamboyant, he was charismatic, and a great leading man in Star Trek. But he's not the main reason for Star Trek. The show itself was just good. Well, sure, you watch it today, it's a little fucking, it's majorly cheesy, actually. But back then, it was a good fucking show. Lots of people loved it. And it has nothing. And Kirk was one of the main components, yes, but it was the whole crew. Is Nimoy and fucking
DeForest
DeForest Kelly.
Kelly.
DeForest Kelly, yes. I keep, for some reason, I keep trying to call him that one black guy's name. Forest Whitaker, I keep trying to say that.
Yeah, James Doohan, Nichelle Nichols, George Takei, Walter Koenig.
They're great, but they're also side members because the whole dichotomy of Star Trek was always those three.
The Trinity.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Spock. Looked everything at everything logically. Kurt and McCoy, he looked at everything with his heart, with his emotions, and it was up to Kirk to choose. Well, listen to both of them and choose a middle ground between the two.
It's like, what's the one line from Search for Spock? He's like, "My God, Bones, what have I done? You've done what you've always have, is turned death into a fighting chance to live." Which is one of the reasons why I like Kirk so much. He's like, he's brash, he's charismatic, and he knows his job, but unlike certain coworkers of mine, who I shall not actually name on this show, he looks outside the box and tries to find different ways than just, the Starfleet SOP.
Well,
And
I think that's a little bit of a oversimplification because I've very recently watched the majority of TOS, and while Kirk is definitely his own captain, he also was a lot more by the books than people remember.
he was by the books when it suited him.
True, but this idea of a rogue captain that got to do whatever the fuck he wanted with no consequence is.
No, like, yeah, people get that. A lot of people think about that, and they even put that in the Star Trek 2009.
Yeah.
But that's because Kirk was dialed up to 11 in Star Trek 2009. Kirk will go off the rules if it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Like, he's by the book. He'll do the right thing as long as Starfleet, their rules, he'll follow them. But if it's the right thing to do, he'll ignore the fucking rules.
Right.
And as you said before we started recording, man, he's a bit of a hound. He's not the serial betting of everything with two or three tits and a heartbeat that a lot of us fans consider him to be, but that isn't to say that, he needs him some loving. I mean, hell, when they had the Star Trek X-Men crossover came out in and around the same time First Contact came out in the 90s, they had this thing where Proteus and Gary Marshall from the first season or was that even the first episode? I think.
Are you talking about Where No Man Has Gone Before?
Yeah. Where, Gary gets godlike powers and he merges with Proteus, and through cosmic shenanigans, a Shi'ar warship with the X-Men flies through this wormhole and meets up with, the crew of the Enterprise. And two of my favorite bits, one is Kirk trying to put the moves on Jean Grey, and the other is Spock taking out Wolverine with the Vulcan neck pinch, only to be fascinated when Wolverine stood up like 10 seconds later. So, Kirk is one of my all-time favorite sci-fi heroes because he is that guy. Like, he goes boldly. Like, he doesn't say, damn the consequences. He's fully aware of the consequences, but he judges for himself whether or not those consequences are enough to prevent him from pursuing a specific course of action. Something that I saw in an interview with Bruce Boxleitner, who played Captain John Sheridan in Babylon 5 years later, he said a lot in the early seasons of Babylon 5, he took a lot of inspiration from Shatner's portrayal of Kirk and his portrayal of Sheridan as this very take-charge kind of guy. And being that those are two of my favorite sci-fi heroes, I love the fact that, they come from that same place, which is William Shatner.
Isn't it weird that I often confuse Bruce Boxleitner with Scott Bakula?
Yes, I think that is very weird.
It's been a long road.
Getting from there to here.
Okay, you can bullshit. We are not bringing that series into this discussion.
But so good. I feel like when a Vulcan sits there and talks bullshit about you, she won't eat breadsticks with her hands, and she sits there for an hour and cut the breadstick, eating it with a fork, not explaining how she got the fucking fork in the breadstick.
The only good thing of that series was Jeffrey Combs as that Andorian.
Shran?
Yeah, it's Commander Shran.
Anyways, again, I feel like most other captains of Star Trek. I mean, I'm a fan of most other captains. I just think that, like you said, Red, the public reception of Kirk has been dialed to 11, of someone who always goes against the rules, someone who's always a hound. And while those are certainly character traits of the man, it's not the majority of his role. Now, the one thing I do have to give Shatner good credit for is the fact that that for the longest time he's run the convention circuit. I know he was extremely adverse to it at the beginning when conventions were a thing, but he softened his stance and he's extremely active in the convention circuit. And I think that the engagement he gives fans is very lovely.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of, I think 9 times out of 10, when people think of Shatner and the Star Trek fandom, you think of that line from his SNL appearance.
Get a life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly, that was his experience for the longest time until he, I think in that respect, he kind of had to get over himself, accept the fact it's kind of the antithesis of Tim the Toolman Taylor in Galaxy Quest. He wasn't like that, where he's completely in love with his own legend and he thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. He went from Star Trek to, did a couple of bad horror movies. He did T.J. Hooker, Rescue 911, and then
Tech Wars.
What's that?
Tech Wars.
Yep, Tech Wars, which were based on, I found out later, novels that he himself wrote, which I did not know. And I think it's sometime around Tech Wars and, in the mid to late 90s where he turned that corner and became much more accepting of his place in the grand scheme of things in terms of the fandom and everyone. He realized that not everyone is a Trekkie wearing their Starfleet uniform to jury duty. They're just normal, everyday people that love good and entertaining sci-fi, and he is one of the cornerstones of that fandom.
A lot of it has to do with, you see actors, especially in certain movies, TV series, like, say, Star Trek or Star Wars, where they get typecast, and that's what he felt like, he was being typecast.
Well, him and Nimoy.
And no matter what role he took on, he'd always be pursued by Star Trek fans.
Yeah.
And he became a little bitter about it. But over time, it kind of like, I can't speak for the man, I never talked to him, never met him. But to me it seemed like one day he kind of realized, these guys genuinely love me. What am I doing hating them? I should just accept it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
that's...
Go ahead, Greg. Okay, and I think this leads to my next point about Shatner is the fake Shatner stories. Because Shatner was a prima donna. Shatner still is somewhat of a prima donna. Shatner has an ego. Shatner's a ham. These are all things that are true about the man, and I think these are things the man himself has accepted, and all his close friends have accepted about him, made peace with it. And there's lots of things you can criticize Shatner about. Don't get me wrong. There's lots of stuff we can criticize him about, especially the Get Live speech, which, again, also give him credit for the fact that he walked back on and softened his stance, like Red said, realized that the fans genuinely love him, and he's returning the affection now. But the amount of people that worked in Star Trek that have to and need to feel like they belong in a special elite club make up fake William Shatner stories. Now, Shatner was an asshole to me this year or that year or something other, and I think that's way too far.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to have issues with somebody personally or professionally, especially in the industry that Shatner is a part of and he's a huge cornerstone of to a degree. But that's just beyond petty when you start making shit up just to make you seem like the good guy in your own legend. I mean, has he been an asshole to people?
Absolutely.
Probably.
Absolutely, but again, it's the man's 80 now, at least 80 right now, correct?
Yeah.
And I think it's telling of Shatner that in the last 10 years, he has tried to make peace or make or mend fences with people he worked with. Like, he worked really hard with Nimoy. He tried to mend that friendship. I think it was a little too late with him in Doohan, but he did make an effort. He made an effort with T'Kay, but the problem is every time T'Kay, like, publicly says he forgives Shatner, a week later T'Kay says, "Oh, you know something else about Bill?" and makes up another story.
Well, the thing is, T'Kay gets a lot of attention for those stories. That's what he lives off at the moment. It's not exactly working.
Yeah, and
steadily.
And I think that's horrible because Shatner has tried at least twice. Every time T'Kay brings something up, Shatner has tried talking to the man personally, saying, "Hey, look, George, yeah, I was in charge of casting decisions or directorial decisions. You know that. Why are you bringing this stuff up? I just want us to have peace." And every time the case is, "Okay, it's fine, Bill, we're good now." And then all of a sudden, it's like not even a week later, the case stirring up shit again. I think Bill, you know, William Shatner has given up trying to mend that fence. Simply because the K is a fucking drama queen.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the best examples of, you know, the... not dichotomy, like kind of the duplicitous nature of the entertainment industry in regards to Shatner is the Comedy Central roast of William Shatner. If you've never seen it, it's actually a lot of fun to watch. They didn't have, like, Leonard Nimoy, because of scheduling, couldn't be there, so they have this wonderful skit with him at the beginning of the show. There's something magical about hearing the man who played Mr. Spock call William Shatner a schmuck. One of the best things in there is seeing Nichelle Nichols, which I have never heard anything negative between her and Shatner, And she comes up there, and she's just sitting there laughing and smiling the whole time, and, you know, tell Shatner to come up here and, you know, kiss my black ass while giving him a big hug. I think the roasts are very telling about how people are perceived, and then you have the idea of a roast like this. Like, he's so many things to so many people, and he's had so many different... He's affected so many people so completely differently across the board. It's kind of hard to, you know, look at him any specific way. You know, it's... You just look at it, it's William fucking Shatner. What else is there?
The best part about that roast was the very end, because Bill's sitting there, he's being a good sport, and he's taking it. And William Shatner, he turns to all of them, it's finally his turn to speak, and he says, I gave you guys 30 years of material, and this is the best you guys had?
Yeah, and then he does, like, on the rant, he goes on, he mentions, like, the Priceline commercials, or
yeah, Rescue 911. He throws the K to George Takei, for last time, George, you cannot suck my dick. And then he turns to Nichols and says, thank you. And implying she did. And he just kept going on and on. It was like, it was only like 3 minutes long, his response to it. And it was glorious, because again, he, you know, like I just love that line. I gave you 30 years of material, and this is the best you came up with. I have a big respect for Shatner because of the fact that that it's not that he's Teflon, but no one can cancel him.
Yeah,
because he's beyond the point of giving fucks.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's at this point, he's been in the industry for almost over 70 years. And, you know, he's literally done it all. He's worked in animation, voicing, like, Kirk in the Star Trek animated series. You know, he had his infamous cover of Rocket Man. I think one of the best things, my favorite things I've ever seen Shatner do outside of Trek was, I mean, growing up, I did not know that William Shatner was Canadian. Like, I did not know this as a child growing up. You know, 10 years old. And then I used to watch on CBC. Isn't he from
Saskatchewan?
No, I didn't know that. But
Nimoy's Canadian too. Did you know that?
I know that he's Canadian too. Now,
so is Doohan.
I knew that if I could.
Doohan's from Vancouver, I remember that.
Yeah. But no, like growing up, watching on the CBC, they used to have like the Just for Last half hour series like five nights a week. And this one time from, I think it was like 92, 93, they opened one of the recordings at the festival with, what the hell is William Shatner doing coming out here? And he used to have this promotion with Molson Canadian Beer, like, I am Canadian. And he came out and he did this thing along, you know, the same rhythm as this promotion. He's like, my name is William Shatner and I am Canadian. And like, I lost my goddamn mind. I was like, Captain Kirk's Canadian. Fuck, all right. You know, and it's like, yeah, it's like so many of my heroes growing up were from Canada, or characters that I've loved growing up, you know, like Superman, technically Canadian, Wolverine, Spock, Scotty, Optimus Prime. That's true. Peter Cullen was born and raised in Montreal, Quebec. So, I mean, that was a huge thing. Like, William Shatner is so many things to so many people. But to bring it back to Kirk, I want to ask you guys, what's, like, one, not your absolute favorite, what's, like, one singular Kirk moment that just kind of solidified your love of the character for you? Or one of many moments? You need a moment to
I have one, but I wanted Red to go first.
Okay.
Okay. Oddly enough, it's probably the last time we see Kirk before that god-awful movie, Generations. It's the quote, second star to the left, straight on till morning.
Yeah. Which is followed up closely by one of my favorite Mr. Spock lines, if I were human, I believe my response would be, go to hell, if I were human.
Yeah.
No, Okay.
Well, now mine.
Generations, not the best Star Trek movie, but it does have one of the lines, like, this is why I love this character, where, you know, he's gone for the little horse ride with Picard, and it finally dawns on him that he's living in this cosmic holodeck sort of thing, and he's like, I suppose the situation is grim, the odds are against us. He's like, that's right, sounds like fun. That tells me everything I need to know about Trek. He's like, this guy, it doesn't matter if he's staring down the barrel of death, he's doing it with a smile on his face and half of a plan in his head, and he's going to bring this, he's going to turn this around. But you were saying, Ben?
Star Trek 3, which I think is a very underrated Star Trek film.
Agreed.
The scene at the end where Kirk brought Spock's body and McCoy to Mount Sileya on Vulcan to Sarek, and Sarek says to Kirk, you know, you did this, but at what cost? Your career, your ship? And Kirk just looks at Sarek and says, if I hadn't tried, the cost would be my soul.
No, you're... Yeah, sorry. He also has one of my... Star Trek 3 has one of my favorite badass Kirk moments where he's booting Klingon Doc Brown in the face. You know, I have had enough of you, and, you know, boots him off that cliff into the lava below. Because it doesn't matter what's going to happen to Kirk. Like, he'll fight to the end to make sure his friends are out of danger at really no regard to himself. And you even look at that film as a whole, like, he was willing to give it all up. Like you said with Sarek, he was willing to give everything up to save, you know, his brother, for lack of a better word. I mean, he's family. Like, what wouldn't you do for family? I think another one of my favorite Kirk moments is Trouble with Tribbles, where he's talking with Mr. Spock about making that... was that Harry Mudd?
It was not... No, it was not Harry Mudd. It was Cyrano Jones.
That's the... Yeah, it's like the... Yeah, he's like... The smile he had in his face when he's putting Mr. Jones to work to clear all the tribbles out of that space station. Like, I don't have to blow the problem up. I also can be a colossal dick about it. But he was a colossal dick with the best of intentions and completely within his purview. And also what was it? Trouble and Tribulations with the DLC?
Trials and Tribulations.
That's it.
Very funny story about that episode, Trials and Tribulations. When they were making that episode, the producers worry about the what they called Forrest Gump technology not working. So they had to have a backup plan. The backup plan was if they couldn't get it working, they would do a different anniversary episode where the Defiant goes and visits the planet from a piece of the action, the planet where everyone was mobsters because they found a book about the mob from the 1920s. And everyone became Trekkies. Like, everyone's wearing TOS outfits. Everyone's going live long and prosper because they found a copy of, like, the Enterprise's ship logs, and they worship it.
Yeah.
And that was the backup plan if they couldn't get, like I said, the, quote, Forrest Gump technology working.
No. I love Trials and Tribulations. Just my favorite bit in that was where you see Ben Sisko, the Sisko nerding out when he went and took, like, the shift report to get signed by the captain. And you can just see it in Avery Brooks' face. It's like he is 5 years old in his head. He's talking to Captain fucking Kirk. Like, who wouldn't love that?
What I love about the episode is you have James T. Kirk, who is one of the most legendary Starfleet captains ever in canon and continuity. Not just, oh, because we like Star Trek, we know about Kirk. No, everyone in Starfleet has heard of Kirk. And knows of Kirk, knows of his accomplishments, his help with the Klingon Peace Treaty, etc. And the one question that Ben Sisko has in his head about meeting Kirk is, I want to ask him about fighting the Gorn on Seska 3. And it's like, It's a very strange moment in Kirk's career to ask him what it was like to build a makeshift cannon and shoot diamonds at a lizard man.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that I think one of my favorite was the. It wasn't the Mirror Mirror episode. It's the I forget the name of the episode. The one where they have the transporter accident, one of many, and they split Kirk into good and evil.
Yes.
And just seeing him go like full ham and with like. It's not like you sit there with like permanently arched eyebrows, but it's like he acted so much with his eyes and his face, more so than his words. And he still came across as like, this is Kirk on a very bad day.
Well, it wasn't good and evil. They even explained that in the episode. Animal aggressiveness and intelligence was the true split. It's not saying that the aggressive one was not intelligent, but that was what the split was. And they explained it because they took the weird alien dog and fused it back, but it died in the fusion because it was too traumatic for it. And Spock explained that he thought Kirk could survive the remerging because Kirk has the one thing the dog doesn't is an intellect. He's like, because I know what it's like to have a warring two warring sides in you, and something that needs to mediate between the two. That was one of the great moments of understanding between Kirk and Spock in the original series.
Yeah. I always took that as good as evil, but again, it's been years since I've seen that. Now, are there any other like Kirk moments that stick out for you, Red?
There's so many that I can't actually think of one specific one. Like, a lot of my memories from Star Trek come from the movies.
Yeah.
I haven't actually ever sat down and watched the whole, like, been watched all of TOS. I've watched it off and on throughout my life. It's always on TV somewhere. And you see an episode, there's nothing else on, might as well just watch Star Trek.
There's something like comfort food of original Trek, cheesy, yes, but it's like how they did the original Adam West Batman. It's they played it straight, and it's not like a lot. I know a friend of mine. He has a huge love for a lot of those classic sci-fis. He says the second like of that school of classic sci-fi, his second favorite show is the original Lost in Space, and I was like. Just staring at him was like, oh, you simple creature. He's like, what? I fucking love that show. It's great if you love that show, but it's not as good as Star Trek.
This is your cousin?
Friend of mine. If I said cousin, I misspoke.
I was going to say, oh crap, it's in the genetics.
You can go right to hell, Red. No, yeah, the movies are great. Oddly enough, like Shatner's performance in Kirk is one of the few things I like about Star Trek V, and there isn't really anything in Star Trek V that I like. But
I want my pain. I
Shatner's,
need my pain.
well, yeah, no, I mean he, that's true. Like you don't, if you don't dwell on it all the time, you don't want to do that. But yeah, you kind of need that. Like you need all parts of you to be whole. It's the one thing, is like he's the one person that got that out of everyone else that gave in. It's like, yeah, I just don't want to feel bad anymore. It's like, well, tough shit, that's life. But he also has the best line in the movie. Why would God need a starship?
Why would God
Jim,
need a starship?
you don't question the Almighty.
Asking for his
If
ID?
there is one character in the totality of science fiction that has any right to question the Almighty, it's James Tiberius Kirk. I mean, even with we were talking on Skype a couple weeks ago, folks, we were debating who won the contest in the Q conflict. It's like really the fans were the winners there because it was just a fun Star Trek story. But I mean, Kirk won. I think Kirk won one, Picard won two, and history's greatest villain won the last one.
Oh, Did fucking that bitch win the whole goddamn thing?
No. I mean, she, if you're doing best of, technically Picard won because he won out of the four contests they had before all the crews got their shit together and said, fuck it, we're just not going to play Q's game anymore. Picard had two, and Kirk and Janeway had one apiece, and the Sisko didn't win anything.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know?
You never captained the ship.
Yeah, the Defiant. You know,
you blew the planet with it.
Yeah. It's like thinking, what is there anything outside of the movies or the TV shows? Like, is there anything in the comics with Kirk that sticks out for you guys? Or even that animated series?
What sticks out is the comics and movies, or the comics and books are not fucking canon. Quit quoting them. They'll never be canon.
Okay, but what about a certain crossover comic?
That one?
That's the one. The one I'm speaking about, folks, is the crossover between the animated Star Trek and Transformers G1, where, due to some Cybertronian wizardry, James T. Kirk becomes commander of Fortress Maximus and renames him Fortress Tiberius, and he turns into a large-scale version of the Enterprise. Driven by what the will and the swagger of history's greatest captain. And for some reason, Red doesn't like that.
No, I don't. It's terrible.
Would you rather he turned into a shuttlecraft instead of the Enterprise, Red? Would that have made
you feel better? I'd rather he not transform at all. I'd rather it just be the fucking Enterprise. What's wrong with it being just the fucking Enterprise?
Absolutely nothing. But now the Enterprise turns into a giant robot. And who doesn't like giant robots? I dig giant robots. You dig giant robots. Chicks dig giant robots.
Nice.
Thank you.
But, again, I feel like all the other captains will always have to be judged. Not always negatively, but always be judged against James T. Kirk.
I think judged is around, like, held up against.
Well, that's what judge means.
It just doesn't sound right to me.
A judge doesn't have to have a negative connotation.
I'm just saying I like the sound of... Anyway. But yeah, no, Kirk set a bar so goddamn high. I mean, he talked shit to a god. He
more than one god.
More than one god. He explored beyond the boundaries of then what was known space for 5 years and didn't lose his nut. He had more than one man try to take his lady away from him and got her back. Proving that he was the superior being in that, and you know, inspired generations of captains after him. Granted, I don't know how much Kirk really inspired Picard, but
what about Scott Bakula?
Well, he had to get there from here.
It's a long road, Ben.
But my time is finally here.
I know what you're doing right now. It's not going to work.
Well, you don't have strength of the heart. But
it'll show you where the road takes you.
Yes. Because I've got faith. Faith of the heart.
This isn't a karaoke podcast. God, I wanted that show to be so good.
Fourth season, Manny Coto inherited the show, and he fucking tried, man. He tried fucking hard, but
Well, he didn't try hard enough.
No, he tried. He tried as hard as that they would let him.
Those are Klingons.
We don't talk about that. Okay, yes, he did try to explain that, and I'm going to give that as a point against him. But other than that, he showed the beginning of the alliance that later became the Federation, where he had the Andorians, Vulcans, Tellarites, and humans team up as a coalition to fight the Romulan scout ship, which was great because those are the founding Federation planets, you know, teaming up for the first time. That's a little bit of a nerd moment for me.
I want to see somebody take that clip and put in the fucking Discovery Klingons.
Klingons? We don't talk to outsiders, yes.
Yeah. So, I'm going to say, if there is a particular Kirk story, honestly, granted it's not specifically Kirk, I'm going to recommend you check out the original Mirror Mirror episode, you know, to see what an evil version of Kirk would be. Was there any particular story or episode of the original series you guys would recommend?
Not specifically a Kirk story, but had some great Kirk moments, was the Doomsday Machine. The Doomsday Machine's about Kirk coming across the ship of the defeated ship of a colleague, Commodore Will Decker, who is later revealed to be the father of Will Decker that was in the motion picture.
You mean the motionless picture?
The motion sickness, whatever you want to call it, but the point remains is Commodore Decker, who had to watch his crew get torn apart by this giant cornucopia. What I liked about it was a great moment where Decker, after like the horrifying moment he had to witness of his crew getting destroyed and the survivor's guilt he had and the drive he had to destroy this thing, was just way too much, and he finally like stole a shuttlecraft and was going to fly into the maw of the ship in a sort of weird suicide run. And no, even after everything Decker did to Kirk, you know, took over the Enterprise on a revenge trip, abandoned Kirk on the husk of his old ship, all this shit, you know, Kirk is pleading for Decker to turn back, saying this, you know, we're better with you than without you. You know, it wasn't your fault, Matt. We need you. And it was a great Kirk moment for me.
Yeah, I agree. How about you, Red?
The episode where Kirk discovers a tribe full of Indians and tries to convince him he's a fucking god. That's the best episode.
Not the one where he teams up with Space Lincoln?
No.
What I love about the Space Lincoln episode is that was technically the first time we ever heard about the Klingon hero, Gilgamesh-esque Jesus figure, Kalus. And Kalus was a fucking asshole in that episode.
Yeah. No. As far as Kirk in the Abrams verse, I think Chris Pine has done a very good job. I mean, this is an entirely new version of Kirk. It's a much more aggressive world he lives in. It's not as, you know, cookie cutter utopian the way Roddenberry envisioned.
I'll say this about, what the fuck is his name again, the actor?
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine. Fuck, I had a complete brain fart there. I'll say this about Chris Pine. His interpretation of Kirk in the first two movies was way over the fucking top. His interpretation of Kirk in the third movie was a lot closer to the original Kirk.
Yeah. I mean, they, like we were saying earlier in the show, how we, for years, all of us Trek fans, we have this idea of what Kirk is, that he's this gun-ho, you know, screw the rules, I don't need him, laws of physics, I laugh in your general direction. That's what they were doing that first one. Second one, I wouldn't say that so much because it's just they were jizzing all over themselves because we're going to use Khan because everyone loves Khan.
Explain to me how he goes from a fucking East Indian Spanish guy to white-ass Benjamin Cumberbatch.
It was told in one of the tie-in comics that he got plastic surgery.
Bullshit.
No, when he woke up in the future and Admiral Robocop, before they woke him up, they did space plastic surgery to Khan, so he looks like Benedict Cumberbatch, and that's how they explain it in the comics.
How did he gain fucking a foot in height?
Space plastic surgery. They gave him some lifts. But no, I love, like...
The biggest problem I had with the whole idea of Into Darkness, and I apologize for derailing for just a moment, but I feel like I just have to get this off my chest, is Khan may have a superior intellect, but that doesn't mean he suddenly can tell these people using technology that he can't even dream of. Because he never heard of warp drive when he went into that sleeper ship. He never heard of transporters. He probably never even heard of artificial gravity. He went into something that's akin to what we have now, with a sleeper pod in there. Went into suspended animation, got shot off, and just started drifting for almost 1,000 years, or almost like 200-300 years. Got discovered, and he's like, oh, you have this warp drive thing. Well, if you just use this little module here, it's transwarp drive. Bullshit. Like Wrath of Khan had it right, where Spock says he's actually very intelligent, but he hasn't done space combat before. He forgot there's a whole Z axis.
Again, that was explained in the comics. He wasn't woken up like 3 days before Kirk ran into him. He had been awake and working for Admiral Robocop for a few years. I'm just saying that's how it's explained. I'm not saying it makes it better. But my favorite.
Well, you know what? They
just let JT fucking say what he wants.
All right, I'll let you say it.
Thank you. The one thing that I love that Chris Pine did in the first movie is where he comes onto the bridge at the end before we get Leonard Nimoy doing the classic space, the Final Frontier, is how he said Bones. And I saw an interview with Chris Pine who said he actually got some tapes of Shatner saying Bones from the original series. And it's kind of like that scene in Darkman where he's listening to Durant's voice over and over again to, you know, get it right. See, he made that much of an effort to get that one line read to sound a bit like Shatner's Kirk. And I know that's a real stretch, but I appreciate that he did that because I didn't know what Bones... Like, I knew it was some medical thing, and I thought it was reference to, McCoy being a doctor, like being a Sawbones.
Yeah, that's
exactly what it is.
But they changed that in the Abrams thing where Kirk meets, Carl Urban's McCoy, who, honestly, I was worried the most about his character's portrayal because I love Carl Urban as an actor. I just didn't know he would be able to get DeForest Kelly like that. And
used some weird fucking voodoo and, like, had DeForest Kelly fucking possess him.
What Carl Urban did was he found out that DeForest Kelly did some westerns, like, around the time of the original series of Star Trek, or even before Star Trek, and he got all that archive footage and just watched, like, DeForest Kelly westerns for, like, a month.
Yeah, but, they changed it from being him being a Sawbones, because I don't recall them ever establishing that in TOS, but they established it where they went up to the Enterprise when Kirk joined Starfleet, or he's taken off for Starfleet Academy, I should say, and he says, she got everything in the divorce, the whole planet in the divorce, all I got left is my bones. And that's where that came from.
I got an explanation for why that was never explained, if you want to give me a moment.
I was about to say why.
Okay, go ahead, Brett. Go ahead.
Star Trek was made in the fucking 60s. Yep. They were fresh off the fucking boat when it came to Vietnam. A lot of people knew terms like Sawbones at that time.
Exactly
didn't
right.
need to be, it didn't need explanation.
Exactly right. In fact, the military term for calling a medic or a doctor bones has been used since the Civil War, was still in regular practice, like Red said, in the 60s. And I think it finally died down in the 80s because one thing you have to realize is like amount of on-field amputations went down drastically once we discovered this thing called penicillin.
That's fine. It's just I didn't know, well, about that with, in regards to U.S. history. Just I kind of knew from reading a lot as a kid, doctors were referred to as a sawbones, having some westerns that I read, and I was like, okay, that's why it's never spelled out in the show. But I kind of love how they did that in the Abrams verse when Kirk met his best buddy like that, and you know Starfleet works in space, right? Like that little bit. And that's one of the things, like go back to TOS, like the relationship between the Trinity, between Spock, McCoy, and Kirk was that camaraderie, that easy way, like, how you talk to your best friends, you all have that flow, and there's all like those, you just know how the conversations go. There's those cues, and that's one of the best things about the new movies is, they kind of got that from the beginning. Like you see the origin of that relationship. And I think it holds up very well against TOS with, Shatner, DeForest, and Nimoy. So, don't know what else can be said.
I think overall Shatner is an overall positive in this world after everything is said and done. I think his influence on Star Trek, while I might have overblown it in the beginning, I do think it's undeniable that it's there and still there to this day. I have to say that it still pisses me off whenever I see the fake Shatner stories pop up, Wil Wheaton's especially, because that one has been disproven multiple times and people still bring it up. The Wil Wheaton Star Trek, Bill Shatner story is extremely egregious because not only has it been proven false, but it just makes Bill look really bad for no reason.
People love to spread rumors. It's I'll bring up one of the oldest fucking rumors ever. You ever hear the town that once disappeared in the middle of nowhere?
Are you
No,
talking
it's
about
called
Jamestown?
not Jamestown. What the fuck? It was in Supernatural. That's what they
Croatoa?
Croatoa, yes. And I don't think that's what that was the name of the town. It was actually just carved into a tree, the word Croatoa. I can't. It might have been Jamestown, but I don't remember what the name of the town was.
Roanoke Island.
Yeah, Roanoke Island. The thing people don't understand, those were all prison colonists. None of them were fucking farmers. None of them knew how to fucking survive. And it takes you by boat back then 2 years to get to fucking England. So 2 years there, 2 years back, 4 years fucking passed. They were dead and fucking gone by the time this guy brought back farmers and fucking plows and shit in order to help him out. They didn't fucking disappear in the middle of the night. But that's one of the legends people like to bring up, and it's complete fucking horseshit.
Well, that's because they found the name carved into a tree nearby. Like, hey, this is carved in the last year. What does this mean? Maybe we should ask the Indians. They don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to think of, other versions of Kirk. I love the way they go full hog with, the societal perception of Kirk in like Robot Chicken whenever they do a Star Trek sketch. They get, I forget who they get to voice Shatner. I want to say it's Seth MacFarlane, but I
Probably
might be wrong
is.
about, because, but no, it's, I enjoy that. Also, when they take a step back, I spoke earlier about the roast. The anytime Star Trek shows up in Futurama, like they have that whole episode where Fry wants to rent one of the Star Trek movies, and everyone tells him to shut the fuck up, and he learns that Star Trek became this massive religion to the point that it eventually became outlawed, and everyone just ignores Trekkies now.
Yeah, the Star Trek Wars.
Well, she.
Yeah, the Star Trek Wars, not the mass migration of Star Wars fans, the Star Wars Trek.
Although they did kind of stick it to Enterprise in the, I think it's one of the movies where Leela takes a ship into a demolition derby, and you see Scott Bakula's head strapped to the roof of his Enterprise, and then Sulu, and he's like, "Way to ruin the franchise, Bakula."
Well, he didn't know how to leap out of the way.
Yeah, well, it was a science experiment, time travel experiment that went a little caca. But that's the other thing I love about Shatner at this point, because when you talk about how he accepted, he loves to, you know, take the piss out of himself, and he loves to have a good laugh. And, you know, I would very much like, he's on that list of, you know, I would very much like to meet the man and have a beer with him, you know, pick his brain a little bit. Because for all the stories that we've heard from, you know, panels at conventions and what we've seen about him talk about in interviews, I'm sure he's got like a million more that we've never heard. And I would very much like to hear some of those. I don't know. How does Shatner stack up in terms of people you want to meet with you guys?
I'd love to meet Shatner again one day. I've met him briefly once at a convention. He's generally a nice guy. He looks you right in the eye. He shakes your hand. He's like, "Well, hello there, Ben. Nice to meet you. Glad that you like my work." He's very personable. He's not overly affectionate, but at the same time, he's not cold. He's a professional. I think that's one thing that always got that Red is right on the dot about Shatner, is he is a professional.
And how about you, Red? What's he stack up there for you too?
I'd like to meet him, yeah. I don't know if I'd have to want to talk to him or hang out with him. I'd like to shake his hand, tell him thank you.
You know, salute your captain?
I wouldn't salute him.
Starfleet doesn't do salutes.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I will say, just gonna, as we start bringing to a close here, when I was a kid, I first heard of, you know, To quote the Weird Al song, "The only question I ever thought was hard is who did I prefer, you know, Kirk or Picard?" It was always Kirk. Picard was never even an option.
Picard's an okay captain. I like a lot of TNG, yeah. But I think TNG has, on ratio, about the same amount of good to bad episodes that TOS has.
Yeah.
Like Africa Planet?
I was not going to bring up Africa Planet. I was going to bring up Beverly Crusher Harlequin. Beverly Crusher Harlequin romance with a ghost.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up how Picard actually got with Jean Grey and Kirk couldn't.
What about that episode where Picard literally says, "Gotta get these damn Indians off this fucking planet"?
The one thing I wonder about the episode, I've never heard a clear explanation in any of the extra shit, even like the non-canon books, was the Traveler is posing as this Indian wise man and shit. He has like his own house there and shit, and like the other Indians are like kind of cool with it. Like, you know, it's like this guy is like a fucking lily white motherfucker that's trying to recruit young boys in his little cult here, and you're just letting him do it?
Yeah.
Look, buddy, we're just fucking extras. The fucking director tells us to fucking womp, we womp.
Yeah, we're scale, man. We're not getting much.
We don't give a fuck about the plot.
I just meant in universe. Like, there's this, the Traveler's posing as this.
That's literally what they're gonna say. Buddy, we're just fucking extras. This guy hired us to pretend to be here, barely fucking paying us. No, Picard wants to fucking kick us off this fucking planet. Every time we own land, the fucking white people have to kick us off.
Well, the Cardassians are more scaly gray, but okay.
There's no good way to respond to that. I mean, Ben said it perfectly. So.
Why do you think people want to go to Mars so badly? It's red. They think Indians own land up there.
That was an episode of Futurama.
No, really, I thought it was your planet already, Red. I mean, they call it the Red Planet.
They have
They think Indians own land up there. They want to get there fast.
In Futurama, they have casinos up there.
I don't know. Can we say anything else about Mr. Shatner or James Tiberius Kirk?
He is amazingly active for an 80-year-old man, and I hope we'll...
He's 90.
Okay. He is extremely active for a 90-year-old man. He, like, goes on bike rides and shit. I hope we'll have many more years of Shatner. I know our time is running out with him, but I hope we have as many more years as we can with the man. Because I think the man is a legend and a treasure.
I'll say this. He looks like a lot better than Stan Lee did at the same age.
He looks better than Patrick Stewart, and they're about the same age.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of that meme, like when, you know, because of the ass year that 2016 was. And there was a meme I saw where the Joker is talking to Death, and he's like, oh, yeah, I see you did some good work this year. And then he starts throttling Death, but Ozzy Osbourne is left alone, capiche? And you change Ozzy to William Shatner and apply 2020, and it's about the same. Like, just. You know, you leave our captain alone, 2020.
So, well,
anything else?
I'm a fan. That's all I have to say. I'm a fan.
Amen.
All right, this is your host, Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Right, Inc.
We're saying goodnight.
So long.
Kirk out.